5. The model will provide a uniformly predictable service to the customer. While the business must look orderly, it is not sufficient. The business must also act orderly. It must do things in a predictable, uniform way. An experience I had not too long ago illustrates the point. I went to a barber who, in our first meeting, gave me one of the best haircuts I have ever had. He was a master with the scissors and used them exclusively, never resorting to electric shears as so many others do. Before cutting my hair, he insisted on washing it, explaining that the washing made cutting easier. During the haircut, one of his assistants kept my cup of coffee fresh. In all, the experience was delightful, so I made an appointment to return. When I returned, however, everything had changed. Instead of using the scissors exclusively, he used the shears about 50% of the time. He not only didn't wash my hair, but never even mentioned it. The assistant did bring me a cup of coffee, but only once, never to return. Nonetheless, the haircut was again excellent. Several weeks later, I returned for a third appointment. This time, the barber did wash my hair, but after cutting it, preliminary to a final trim. This time, he again used the scissors exclusively, but unlike the first two times, no coffee was served, although he did ask if I would like a glass of wine. At first, I thought it might be the assistant's day off, but she soon appeared, busily working with the inventory near the front of the shop. As I left, something in me decided not to go back. It certainly wasn't the haircut. He did an excellent job. It wasn't the barber. He was pleasant, affable, seemed to know his business. It was something more essential than that. There was absolutely no consistency to the experience. The expectations created the first meeting were violated at each subsequent visit. I wasn't sure what to expect, and something in me wanted to be sure. I wanted an experience I could repeat by making the choice to return. The unpredictability said nothing about the barber other than that he was constantly and arbitrarily changing my experience for me. He was in control of my experience, not I. And he demonstrated little sensitivity to the impact of his behavior on me. He was running the business for him, not for me. And by doing so, he was depriving me of the experience of making a decision to patronize his business for my own reasons, whatever they might have been. It didn't matter what I wanted. It didn't matter that I enjoyed the sound of the scissors and somehow equated them with a professional haircut. It didn't matter that I enjoyed being waited on by his assistant. It didn't matter that I enjoyed the experience of having my hair washed before he set to work and that I actually believed it would improve the quality of the haircut. I would have been embarrassed to ask for these things, let alone to give my reasons for wanting them. They were also totally emotional, so illogical. How could I have explained them or justified them without appearing to be a boob? What the barber did was to give me a delightful experience and then each and every time take it away. It reminded me of my first psychology course in college. I recall the professor talking about the burnt child syndrome. This is where a child is alternately punished and rewarded for the same kind of behavior. This form of behavior in a parent can be disastrous to the child. He never knows what to expect or how to act. It can also be disastrous to the customer. The burnt child, of course, has no choice but to stay with the parent, but the burnt customer can go someplace else, and he will. What you do in your model is not nearly as important as doing what you do the same way each and every time. 6. The model will utilize a uniform color, dress, and facilities code. Marketing studies tell us that all consumers are moved to act by the colors and shapes they find in the marketplace. Different consumer groups simply respond differently to specific colors and shapes. Believe it or not, the colors and shapes of your model can make or break your business. Louis Cheskin, founder of the Color Research Institute, wrote about the power of colors and shapes in his book, Why People Buy. Little things that are meaningless from a practical point of view may have great emotional meaning through their symbolism. Images and colors are often great motivating forces. Some time ago, we conducted a study of women shopping in an apparel shop. A young woman wanted to buy a blouse that was available in several colors. She held the blue blouse up to her face and looked into the mirror. She was a blonde, and she knew she looked good in blue. She fingered the red one lovingly. She loved the color, she thought, but she said it was too strong and loud. The sales girl reminded her that yellow was the fashionable color. She could not make up her mind between the color that she looked best in, the color she liked best, and the color in current fashion, so she settled on a gray blouse. It was reported to me a couple of weeks later that she didn't like the gray blouse. It was dead, she said. She wore it only twice. Some of the other purchasers of blouses permitted one of the inner drives to win. Some bought blouses because the color flattered them. Others chose the color that was in fashion, and some took the color they liked. Each chose a color that satisfied the strongest urge or fulfilled the greatest wish. Just think, all this deep psychology in the mere process of buying a blouse. Your business is the same as the blouse in Cheskin's story. There are colors that work and colors that don't. The colors you show your customer must be scientifically determined and then used throughout your model. On the walls, the floors, the ceiling, the vehicles, the invoices, your people's clothes, the displays, the signs. The model must be thought of as a package for your one and only product, your business. Just as with colors, there are shapes that work and shapes that don't. On your business card, your signs, your logo, your merchandise displays. In one test, Cheskin showed that a triangle produced far fewer sales than a circle, and a crest outproduced both by a significant margin. Imagine sales increased or lost by the choice of a seemingly meaningless shape. The shape of your sign, your logo, the type style used on your business cards will have a significant impact on sales, whether you care to think about it or not. Your prototype must be packaged as carefully as any box of cereal. Before we go on, let's summarize what we've covered so far. Go to work on your business rather than in it. Go to work on your business as if it were the pre-production prototype of a mass-producible product. Think of your business as something apart from yourself, as a world of its own, as a product of your efforts, as a machine designed to fulfill a very specific need, as a mechanism for giving you more life, as a system of interconnecting parts, as a package of cereal, as a can of beans, as something created to satisfy your consumers' deeply held perceived needs, as a place that acts distinctly different from all other places, as a solution to somebody else's problem. Think of your business as anything but a job. Go to work on your business rather than in it and ask yourself the following questions. How can I get my business to work, but without me? How can I get my people to work, but without my constant interference? How can I systematize my business in such a way that it could be replicated 5,000 times so the 5,000th unit would run as smoothly as the very first? How can I own my business and still be free of it? How can I spend my time doing the work I love to do rather than the work I have to do? If you ask yourself these questions, you'll eventually come face to face with the real problem. you don't know the answers. And that's been the problem all along. But now it should be different, because now you know that you don't know. Now you are ready to look the problem squarely in the face. The problem isn't your business. It never has been. The problem is you. It has always been you, and it will always be you. Until you change, that is. Until you change your perspective about what a business is and how one works. Until you begin to think about your business in a totally new way. Until you accept the undeniable fact that business, even a very small business like yours, is both an art and a science. And like art and like science, to successfully develop a serious business, you need specific information. Most importantly, to successfully develop a serious business, you need a process, a practice by which to obtain that information, and once obtained, a method with which to put that information to use in your business productively. What follows is just such a method. A programmed approach to learning what needs to be learned about your business in order to climb the proverbial ladder. A proven way to the top that has been successfully implemented by tens of thousands of small businesses just like yours. We call it the eMyth Mastery Program, and it's a process that can transform your life.